Hello and welcome to our Ahlstrom podcast. Today we are discussing the value of collaboration throughout the supply chain, and we are looking forward to sharing with you some results from a recent study we completed on this important topic. I'm Addie Teeters with Ahlstrom, and here with me today is Tessa Kalpinen, Sustainability Specialist with Ahlstrom, and Dean Delabrue, Market Manager for our food packaging business. Tessa, just to get us started here, you recently completed an in-depth master's thesis titled Sustainability-Oriented Co-Innovation Between Brand Owners and Manufacturers. So what inspired this research thesis project?
This was really inspired by the fact that we have realized the value of co-innovation because we are not able to solve these systemic and increasingly complex sustainability challenges alone. So we would like to increase opportunities for co-innovation with our value chain. And that's why we wanted to better understand the thoughts of our downstream value chain, and especially the brand owners, since there are often other actors between us and them. So we wanted to really understand brand owners' perceptions of sustainable co-innovation and how do they see the opportunities and challenges that there are in these kind of projects. And also, are they wanting to have more co-innovation for sustainability with us as manufacturers as we are wanting to have with them?
And Tessa, what were some key learnings you really gleaned from this?
First of all, it definitely became clear that sustainability-oriented innovation is becoming the new norm. So all projects have sustainability goals, as they should, of course. But I also learned that the sustainability goals and targets that companies have are actually the most important factor why companies want to engage in these kind of co-innovation projects. And that's because everyone is understanding that we're not able to solve these challenges in silos. We need to collaborate. However, even though there is this wish and need for sustainability-oriented co-innovation, it is still perceived to be more complex. And that is because, of course, there are more considerations to make with these sustainability goals. And also the collaborative approach brings, for example, new capability needs, which companies might not yet have if they haven't done these kind of projects that much earlier.
Dean, when you hear some of the things that Tessa really uncovered in her research, how is it applicable to what we experience with our position in the supply chain, you know, especially in the area of plastic replacement opportunities, for instance?
Yeah, absolutely. Tessa's comments are really spot on. You know, these are complicated issues to navigate. You have a number of constituents. You have substrate suppliers, you have converters, you have chemical suppliers, you have brand owners. And everyone needs to find ways to navigate these topics collaboratively. In the past, there have been some challenges in getting that done, just from the standpoint of companies are concerned about confidentiality and intellectual property, and everybody wants to protect what's theirs. And I would say, in my experience, the last couple of years, it's become less problematic to have those conversations. Don't get me wrong, they're not necessarily easy or straightforward, but companies are recognizing, to Tessa's point, that these are complicated issues. And if we don't find a way to work together differently, more effectively, we're not going to get to where we need to be with these sustainable solutions.
What are some real-life examples of how we've already started to apply these learnings?
Dry pet food packaging is near and dear to me. We started this initiative a few years ago, and we had very strong brand owner engagement. There was a desire to move away from fluorochemically treated cellulose-based pet food packages to eliminating the use of fluorochemicals, and also coming up with a completely recyclable pet food bag. So there's no more film as the interply. And since we had so much brand owner engagement, we thought, oh, this is going to be relatively straightforward, because we knew we had a substrate, a fluoro-free substrate that would work in the application. So I remember having conversations around the project timeline with the team, and we thought 18 months, development to commercialization. Well, here we are looking backwards, and really it was a 3-year process, a little more than that. Because what we learned was, yeah, we have a substrate that would work in the application, but then that substrate needs to go to a converter, a bag converter. They need to print it, Well, it prints differently than the existing substrates, so we needed to get ink manufacturers involved. Then it needs to go through bag-making machinery, more nuances there that needed to be resolved with the equipment suppliers. And then once the bags are formed, they need to go to the brands, and the brands have to fill it and seal it, palletize it, get it through transportation testing, shelf life testing. It also needs to go through pet palatability testing. So the pets have to taste it and make sure that the new packaging structure doesn't have any bad actors on the in terms of the pets wanting to consume the food. That took many, many iterations to work out all the details.
And so many different players in the supply chain there.
Exactly. So looking back, would we have done things differently? No question. There are some things that could have been optimized, could have been done differently, but we've been able to take those learnings, and now we're deploying those learnings to be more effective with new development opportunities.
And from a really altruistic perspective, think about that end outcome of what we are reducing waste to landfill. I mean, the reduction of imprint is just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another key factor and very important to the brands.
And what are some other product categories where this same school of thought can be applied?
We have a large presence in QSR, fast food packaging. Earlier this year, we completed our transition away from the use of PFAS or fluorochemically treated grease-resistant papers, and now everything is on fluoro-free. So we completed that very early in the year, checked that box, we're in good shape there. But the market in QSR has more sustainability needs for solving more challenging applications. For example, there's a desire to potentially move away from foil packaging structures and get heat retention with a more sustainable substrate. So we have active prototypes in the market. We have trials going on to deliver on those requirements as well. And moisture and water resistance is another need in QSR to have those properties without using a waxed substrate. So again, we have prototypes, trial work in place to deliver on those needs.
And Tessa, you touched on this a little bit, but as you hear Dean talk about just all of these opportunities, what are some of the maybe concerns or, you know, just headwinds that the brands expressed or concerns when it came to investing in sustainable alternative packaging? I mean, what were some of the concerns you heard?
There definitely is still some challenges that companies are facing. And I can fully agree on what Dean touched upon earlier about the contracts and settling the IP rights. So those can definitely still be challenging at times. But I think it's a great starting point that everyone is already having the willingness to find the solutions for these kind of challenges. And we just need a bit more experience with these kind of projects so we can find the ways forward from these challenges. But then the other thing that I could point out is time. And I think Dean really nicely explained what the reality can be in these projects and what is the process like. So that's also what I heard, that of course these projects can require some iteration and experimenting, which can take some time, but that can still be a bit concerning to some of the partners at times.
This does take time, right, Dean? We need to start some of these things before we even think we need to, correct?
Absolutely. So we talked about the pet food example. We talked about QSR. The next target that we've started to work on for quite some time now is the overall snack and confectionery packaging applications. And those require, you can imagine the wide range of applications. There are different types of foods, have different requirements in terms of the package structure. And they're very analogous to the pet food example I talked about. So we need to start as soon as possible because we know it's going to take a number of iterations to go through that process and come up with a viable solution at the end of the day.
And you spoke about the pet palatability when it came to making sure that pets, that the different animals still wanted to taste the food after it was residing in this new packaging. Really, the same goes for consumers, for, you know, average folks out there who are used to their granola bar coming in a certain package. We need to make sure that the consumers are still going to adapt to that, correct?
Absolutely. And one of the things we found is consumers react favorably to what they perceive as a more sustainable package. So if you're used to a film-based package and you see that now in a cellulose-based structure, that speaks to a perception and a need in the market to move to a more sustainable solution.
It just makes you feel better, right?
Absolutely.
Now, Tessa, with all your research and learnings, how would you encourage the value chain to move forward with willingness for these types of projects?
Yeah, well, I would like to share a couple of learnings that I think we can all take with us when going to the next co-innovation projects. And the first thing is that we should try and go into these with an open mind and willingness to experiment, because those were actually the qualities that the experts that I talked to mentioned as the most important qualities in a partner. So I think it's really important to keep in mind that there can be all the right contracts and processes in place, but in the end, it comes down to having the right mindset and willingness to ideate whether the project will work or not. And then the other thing is that I really would like to encourage companies to engage in co-innovation with multiple partners, because that was actually perceived to make the co-innovations better, sometimes even easier, and also the innovation then more impactful. Because when you get more of the value chain actors around the same table, you're able to consider all of the material aspects at the same time. And you can also receive feedback faster from your development. And then finally, I would like to encourage the partners to come up with a shared understanding of what sustainability means in that specific project. Because I learned that there can be a lot of different perceptions of sustainability due to different backgrounds and cultures. So if we have a shared vision and goal from the beginning, we can make sure we have a strong sustainability focus, and it is then easier to work towards that same goal during the co-innovation.
And, you know, when you hear about those sustainability goals, Dean, I mean, really, that's in alignment with exactly what you're hearing as well, right?
All major brand owners have sustainability goals, and those goals are commitments starting, you know, 2025, 2026. Well, here we are at the middle of 2023, so we need to get started as soon as possible to make sure that we can collaborate and deliver on those goals. And what we found in some cases, the brands are willing to do this in phases. So, you know, phase one may be eliminating a certain chemical. Phase two might be adding some recycled content. And then phase three is that ultimate recyclable package or compostable package, whatever the desired end goal is. But every step shows progress towards a more sustainable structure.
And really, what's our final call to action to the marketplace? I mean, you both have touched on the fact that we need to have shared sustainability goals. We need to make sure that we really are keeping time as a factor here. But, you know, what's our request to the value chain?
Well, let's talk about Ahlstrom first for a minute. Ahlstrom has very unique papermaking capabilities, and I would argue some of the most unique papermaking capabilities of any specialty paper manufacturer globally. We have business development resources that have a lot of expertise in not only the markets that we service today, but the markets that we intend to service in the future, you know, pet food being one example, confectionery and snacks. We also have R&D resources. We have R&D resources here in North America. We have two research centers located in France who are working to extend our barrier capabilities on a daily basis. So we feel we're well positioned within our position in the supply chain to have the right solutions. But we need the help of the rest of the supply chain. We need the converters, we need chemical suppliers, we need the brand owners, we need the equipment OEMs to all be in alignment to make sure that we're doing this as effectively and efficiently as possible.
So bring us the problems and the goals, and we really are ready to work with the full value chain.
Absolutely.
To bring that solution. We're not afraid of that, right?
Not at all.
Well, Tessa and Dean, thank you both for walking us through, Tessa, not only your valuable research, but also helping us to understand it from our business case studies. To learn more about this study on sustainable co-innovation, how sustainable co-innovation is defined, and what opportunities we can leverage to succeed in true sustainable material development throughout the supply chain, please visit our website, www.ahlstrom.com.